What is up? Welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the Monumental Sports versus YouTube TV and Hulu Live TV battle, saga, whatever you want to call it. It ended. It's over, at least for the time being. That has gone over, and I definitely have some thoughts on it. Going to break it down in greater detail because I'm sure for all the people that listen in the DMV area, you kind of want to know if you can watch your favorite team or not. It goes for Capitals fans too. So going to break all that down and more. And who better than the guy that has been covering this, that wrote about it from the start, to join me today. So I'm joined by my friend Troy Halliburton, who's going to help me break all these things down. So thanks for joining me, Troy.
Greg, man, I greatly appreciate that, man. Like, shout out to you and the platform that you're building. Shout out to independent media who are still out here thriving, you know, giving the people, you know, the coverage that they actually need, you know, for the team. And so, you know, I've always been a fan of your work. So I'm honored to come on here and break it down with you, my brother.
I appreciate that, Troy. It goes both ways. I mean, I guess some background again. I don't know if everyone listening knows or understands kind of what's going on. So I'm going to try to explain it. And obviously, Troy, feel free to interject if you have anything to add. But essentially, I'll take you back a couple years. Obviously, you know, Wizards games, Caps games used to be streamed on NBC Sports Washington. Ted Leonsis decided that he wanted to kind of buy that out, create his own RSN, his own streaming network, his own Monumental Sports Network, as he called it. It's the Monumental umbrella, and they have the Capitals, they have the Wizards, they have the Mystics. They broadcast the games, and the broadcasts weren't necessarily different. Like, they kept their on-air talent. Obviously, Chase Hughes stayed. Chris Miller took over the play-by-play. You have Drew Gooden, Megan McPeak. A lot of the people, I'm sure, were the same, but it was just kind of now under the umbrella of Leonsis. So it's an independent RSN feed, signs deals with streaming services like YouTube TV, Hulu Live TV, to sort of take on that package. So if you had YouTube, you had Hulu, it's like if you had NBC Sports Washington, it's just under the Monumental umbrella. Not much change there. They also have the Monumental app where you can get Monumental Plus. And that runs you $19.99 a month. And until today was $200 or $199.99 a year for the annual package. So that was another way that you could access Monumental. I've had 15, 20 people reach out on DM because I talked about the app and they just told me how bad the app was. I'm not a DMV resident, so I don't know, but they said there's a lot of buffering issues and a lot of just audio issues. And the app itself is just not a fun watching experience. And so while that is the case and that is offered as well by Monumental, they weren't big fans of that. So essentially that brings us to about a week or so ago. Zach Leonsis, who is the son of Wizards owner Ted Leonsis, Ted owns the Capitals and the Mystics too. He goes on Monumental with the whole studio set up, and I see Troy kind of salivating because I know he has some thoughts on this.
Hey, Greg, you're cooking right now. I'm like, look, go ahead, keep going. No, you've got it all broken down. Keep going.
Zach gets on camera, and he's basically, he's being asked obviously questions he already knows the answers to. They're just sort of, the hosts are guiding him in a certain way. But he gets on camera and he basically makes a plea to Wizards fans, to Capitals fans, to Mystics fans, basically saying, look, our backs are against the wall. September 30th is the last day. It's the deadline for us to renegotiate or get to an extended version of our deal with YouTube and Hulu Live TV. And we need the fans' help because, as Monumental played it, YouTube TV, Hulu Live TV are not negotiating in good faith, was the term that they used a lot. They said they weren't negotiating in good faith. They said even today that there were zero counteroffers made by either YouTube or Hulu. And it was basically Monumental fighting this upward battle because they're an independent, RSN and YouTube wants to cut out the little guy. And they were kind of playing it like the victim card, essentially. Like, we are for the fans and we're trying to help you guys and make sure everyone can watch the Wizards and Caps games on time. But it's YouTube and Hulu's fault because they're being greedy in terms of the money and they're not negotiating in good faith. So they did all of this PR stuff to basically call upon fans. They even had links in their website to have fans reach out via email, text, call to Hulu and YouTube and basically say, hey, I'm going to cancel my subscription if you don't get a new deal. Or basically trying to build up all this bad PR, this bad press and bad reviews for those companies so they would maybe have a change of heart. When I saw that, I was like, okay, they're a little desperate. Clearly, their backs are against the wall because, look, like, they're calling upon their fan base to do the work of the business side of monumental. It's like, okay, like clearly this is a last resort. It's a last call for help because clearly they can see the writing on the wall that no matter what they do, there's no counteroffers. Like this is not going to happen past September 30th. And so clearly it didn't. They came out with a statement today, this morning, that confirmed what Troy and I had kind of tweeted about yesterday on the 30th when nothing was announced, that essentially the deal is expired and no deal has been reached. So YouTube and Hulu are dropping Monumental Sports Network from their streaming services effective immediately, which is a big deal because the cap season starts a week from today on October 8th against the Rangers, I believe. 3 weeks from today, the Wizards start at Milwaukee on October 22nd. And if you have YouTube or Hulu, you can't watch the games. And the big kicker here is that if you're in the DMV, you can't just say, oh, I'm going to go buy NBA League Pass because it's restricted blacked out. In those areas.
You blacked out, yep.
Thankfully for me, like I'm in State College, Pennsylvania, so I use League Pass, but there's no more Stream East as well. So if you want to illegally pirate it, good luck with that because, again, those are also not good. They're 3 to 4 minutes behind. It's not an enjoyable listening or watching experience. And so we'll get into the I guess, options Wizards fans have. But that's kind of, you know, where the whole situation is kind of at. So I kind of laid it out for you. You have free reign, Troy. Just whatever you're feeling, go for it.
Yo, Greg, so I feel like the synopsis that you just gave was a very accurate assessment of the state of the Wizard fan right now. And so the biggest thing that I really think is that there's a major disconnect right now between the actual Wizard fan and whatever it is that Ted and Zach Leonsis are trying to build with Monumental Sports. Like, I think that when, like you were talking about, the desperation of, you know, the plea to call out the fans, the making of the site, keepmonumentalsports.com, you know, which is still an active site, if I might say so. Like, it's still active. They still want you to go out and harass these companies about a deal that they didn't have. It's like trying to manufacture and mobilize a movement that can only be, something like that can only be created from within and from a grassroots effort. And they're not listening to what the actual fans are saying or what the actual fans want from a viewing experience. And so I think that, you know, there's a major disconnect there. And I think that's like the first place that we have to start with, you know, what Monumental Sports is trying to do. Okay. And then you laid out the fact that, okay, it used to be Comcast SportsNet, then it was NBC Sports Washington. And then Monumental Sports ended up buying 67% stake of NBC Sports Washington back in 2022 to own the company, to own this channel. So my thing is, I don't understand why it is that they really put all of their eggs in this basket to get their independence or their RSN freedom just to be beholden to somebody else so they can show their games. Mm-hmm. And like that to me, it's confusing from like a business standpoint, but not only like I said, they're trying to mobilize the fans to do something for them that's not what the fans want. The fans want to be able to watch their games with a pleasurable viewing experience, and they want to have it easily accessible. And so, you know, in the piece that I wrote, you know, I think that right now would be a perfect time for the Wizards to try to pivot and try to do a model that will be against the system. But since they own the rights, they own Monumental Sports, why not try to strike a deal with a broadcast television network in the DMV area where you can show your games, where millions of people could watch the game for free, and then you can make your money in advertising on the back end. And yes, it seems like a more risky proposition, but, you know, like they've already experienced, you know, like zero interest from Hulu TV and YouTube TV. These people are telling you what their intentions are. And the conversation, some of the conversations I was having with people leading up to this, you know, I was saying like, yo, MSG, Madison Square Garden Network, was dropped by YouTube TV. Like they have shown that they don't have an interest in reaching out to independent regional sports networks. But Madison Square Garden got the Yankees and the Rangers. That's New York City. That's like, you know, really basically 10 times the amount of reach that Monumental Sports could give. And YouTube TV was like, no, we're good. And so at some point, Monumental had to see the writing on the wall and be able to shift what's going on because the market is dictating itself. And so that's really, I think, that the biggest thing is the disconnect there and the fans being really the losers of all of this experience.
Yeah, I mean, you outlined it very well. The we've talked about this, you know, even in years past, the disconnect between Monumental, because you'll go on the post game show when it's their 16, 17 straight loss, and you're just talking about the positives, and it's like, well, I mean, guys, they're owned by the owner of the team. You know, it's that disconnect that we've been talking about for a while, and you mentioned every time, it's like, is this really what the fans want? And it's not like they can. The fans can see through all of the PR that they did. Now, Monumental did a great job. Like, I think there are a lot of fans that were actually like, Monumental upset. Got hosed in this whole thing. Yeah, exactly. They were upset.
They were upset because they didn't know where they were going to be able to watch their team. And that's what it all comes down to. Like, I talked to a friend. I saw one of my friends doing the tweets. I was like, oh, you a bot now? And he's like, no, I want to watch my Wizards. That's it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I mean, like, it's just so frustrating because, like you said, there isn't even a really realistic alternative. So now that YouTube TV and Hulu have said, no, we don't want your services anymore. Okay. Like, even if Monumental Sports Network was able to bring in all of these users, that site would probably crash. Mm-hmm. Like,
I'm glad you mentioned the alternatives, because I tried to lay it out kind of like what is in front of Wizards fans. Cause like your friend, you mentioned with your friend, he just worried, like, I just want to watch my team. Like, it shouldn't again be this much of a hassle this or like close to a season starting for a fan base to just go on and watch their team play. Like, if you're a Wizards
fan, basic level, like, consumer, like, yo, I'm a fan of this team. How can I watch them? That's like basic level, like, economics right there.
Exactly. I mean, like, and I'm gonna say, like, this is for DMV residents mainly, because if you're outside the DMV, you can just buy League Pass. It's just like that alternative not being there for DMV residents is so tough, makes it so tough for them, because now, like, they can't watch on YouTube or Hulu. And if you have those streaming services, I think YouTube's $82 a month. Again, you're not gonna pay another $20 a month just to watch the Wizards play. That's pretty ridiculous. Again, if you have one of those subscription services, maybe some people are gonna cancel them because they can't watch the team. But most people have YouTube or Hulu to watch TV.
To watch a million other things.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, they don't have it for that. And again, like, it's still shown on like Xfinity cable, Cox cable for those in that area, but people are obviously shifting away from basic cable as well because of the prices of that versus these streaming services. So it'll still be available on that, but that's kind of to the minority that hasn't maybe graduated to streaming services. And then you got the problem I already outlined with, you can't just go on League Pass, because if you're in the DMV, you can get League Pass, but you're blacked out for all Wizards games. So that means nothing. So you're at that last resort where you can purchase the Monumental app and get Monumental Plus, which, like I mentioned before, I heard is not a fun or enjoyable viewing experience. And I'll say this, I don't have it, so I can't confirm, but 20 to 25 people have all said the app is awful. I have yet to see someone tell me the app is good. And if they did, I'd probably assume it's another Twitter bot, like you mentioned, that's trying to push that. So you can get the app, right? That's kind of your last resort. But Monumental runs you $199.99, so basically $200 for the annual price, and then $20 a month. And what Monumental did was they came out today and said, look, we're being the nice guy throughout this whole thing. Here's $20 off the annual cost of Monumental Plus. So it's now $179.99 for Monumental Plus for this season of Wizards and Capitals throughout the year. But they didn't touch the monthly price. And their whole thing was that I think it's like $56.82 you would save by paying just the annual price versus continuing to re-up per month. But again, it's like fans can call that bluff. You just want the money now. You want the $180, and you don't care if they're going to pay the $20 for what, 10 months, then you're kind of at the same price. If by the end of the season they cancel it, you're at the same spot with the $180. So they're just kind of like, if they really did care about the fans, I guess, they would take it off the monthly price. They would also take like $5 a month off of Monumental Plus. But it's pretty clear to see, and I don't know if you're seeing it as well, but what they're trying to kind of do with the, oh, we're being nice, when it's not necessarily helping anybody.
I think that we call these half measures. And so, you know, they don't want to give you, they don't want to let you know that we appreciate you. They show you a half measure and say, look, you should take this. But no, if we're talking from an economic standpoint, I think that price point that we're talking about is such, like, number one, we got to talk about how, like, it's honestly kind of ridiculous, just even from a starting point of Monumental Sports costing $20 a month. That's more than Paramount. That's more than Netflix. That's more than, you know, Apple TV. That's more than, like, it's like, to even start at that price point is ambitious, I will say. And so, you know, the biggest things that I want to talk about with Monumental is the fact that they don't really have the relationships with the community to understand about the fan experience. And then also, I think they keep investing in the wrong aspects. So, like, you know, they should be invested in more original content for, you know, Monumental Sports. So if you're gonna go out and make an investment to buy, you know, Monumental from NBC Sports, like, why not put, like, actual television and programming on these channels for the fans to be able to watch, something that will be additional to the experience? You can't just be selling just the games. And, like to me, I think that when you watch Monumental Sports, if you have the channel, there's so many times where if they're not games on the show, the channel's blacked out. They show it's an infomercial channel. And so, you know, like, I don't think that the real actual investment into what the fans want as an experience, like the actual programming to pay in people to give insider access to the Wizards or an actual view of, you know, the behind the curtain aspects of what's going on with the team or just any type of programming. Like, it doesn't even matter if it's behind the scenes access, just anything. I think that would be like, I don't know. It would just mean that they're trying to actually connect with the fans more than just asking them to get on the internet and, you know, call out their subscribers.
Yeah. I mean, and you mentioned this earlier about how other teams have, you know, other options available to watch games. Like, I know the Suns have like Suns Plus, which again is pretty similar to Monumental Sports in terms of kind of, they have their own app and it's just, this is what we're giving you. You're going to watch the Suns. And I think I would assume the Mercury are also included in that package too. But you're going to just, this is the hub to watch the Suns games. And if I'm looking at these numbers right here, it's $14.99 a month and $109, basically $110 a year to watch those two teams, which again is significantly lower than Monumental. And again, the Capitals are also a part of it. So yes, the price should be a little higher, but again, like people aren't mad that they have to pay if they have to pay for the Monumental Plus app. It's the fact that the app is not good. And this has been an issue for years now that the app still isn't good. And the price point is just tone deaf. It's out of touch with what realistically you should be charging. Because I kind of try to look at some numbers here to compare. Like, it's $210, right, for the entire year to watch, to get NBA League Pass, and that's for all
the
teams,
entire
not just
NBA. That's for the entire NBA, right, to watch the entire NBA.
Like, I get
than
League Pass.
Watch 5 minutes sports.
I get League Pass. It's $210 to watch the entire league. I should not be paying $40 less than that to watch three teams total. And realistically, for most of the year, the Mystics aren't playing. You're getting it. If you're just getting it for the Wizards too, it's $180 to watch one team, or I can pay $210 to watch all 30, obviously minus the Wizards when they're playing, if it's restricted, but you get the point. Like, it's an out of touch price point. And even before they took off the $20 to be nice to the fans, it was only $10 cheaper than what League Pass is for the whole league. So again, and they try to push, it's like this DMV-based original content, and they get high school games and they get other stuff. They have elevated the package in recent years from what I guess it started from. But like you mentioned, there's so much more that they can do with it. And if they were to maximize it, like you said, $200, maybe it's a lot, but sure, you can make
it will
it
be
understandable.
Worth it. If you knew that, okay, this is a place that I could go to get actual news on sports that's going on in the DMV. If there were, I remember back in the day, you know, they used to have these shows like on Comcast Sports, like the high school highlights, the high school athlete of the week, like, if you're doing actual shows like that, doing reporting where you're like they're going and reporting on, okay, we want to see the teams in the top 20, because there's so much enriched talent when it comes to the grassroots effort of basketball and football and other, you know, amateur sports in this area. Like, yeah, they could be doing so much more if they wanted to get that $20 a month from you.
I mean, on League Pass, if you just want the team pass, it's $90 for the entire year to just watch the Wizards. So let's say I'm outside the DMV, I just want to watch the Wizards. It's $90 versus Monumental. It's another 100 plus to watch those same exact games on Monumental. So I understand, like, they are independent, they have to make money. I get that, but again, it's there's so many facets to the dilemma where it's like I don't see how they can rationalize. Yeah. Getting people to pay that price point, right?
And I want to say this, like there's a price that comes with independence, but there's also a responsibility that comes with independence. That if you wanted to step out there, and this is from like a journalism aspect of it, mm-hmm. like if you wanted to step out there with your independence, then you have like the responsibility to make sure that number one, like we said, that the fans can watch the games, and that they're number two, that they're having an enjoyable experience. And that means actually listening to what they have to say when they request, you know, certain type of content, or when they tell you that certain price points are actually completely unreasonable. And so, you know, I think that, you know, this is this could be a great teaching and learning lesson and moment for Monumental Sports if they are able to take this experience and see. This is the same thing happened when, you know, they had the situation when they wanted to move, and they wanted to move to Virginia, and they ended up having to come back to DC, and they took a deal that was actually way more favorable than they could have ever imagined. And so, you know, I think that this could be another situation where, you know, despite what their internal plans might be for the future, that the universe has a way of course correcting some of these things. And that if they just paid attention to the natural progression of things going on around them and actually listened to the fans, that this could actually turn out to be very much a blessing in disguise for them if they were able to really invest in the infrastructure that it would take. And that's the thing. That's not something that happens overnight. You can't just say, oh, and I think that may be a problem with what Monumental Sports expects. They expect, oh, just this overnight thing, exactly how they think, oh, we're going to put up this website. We're going to force these big corporations to change their decision based off of our fake grassroots effort. And it's like, no, mm-hmm. these things don't happen overnight. These things are built from the ground up. And if you really want to change, you have to invest on levels that I don't think that Monumental Sports is ready to really look at and evaluate from it. But they have to be more introspective about where they are right now and what they can do to pivot.
Yeah, I mean, they clearly tried, like you mentioned, with the grassroots effort, the Save Monumental Sports or whatever the website was, or Keep Monumental Sports.
Keep Monumental Sports,
To try to advocate for fans to come out and basically do their, not want to say dirty work, but do work for them, because their backs were against the wall in this whole dilemma. And they tried to, again, put out stats that were in their favor too. They said year over year, Mystics viewership on Monumental was up 46%. Year over year in total, their viewership rose by 40%. And it's like, okay, like we get that, right?
I want to interject right there, because this is the thing when I do this for a living, when you evaluate numbers, okay, so the numbers mm-hmm. that they put out, right, they can say that, so these numbers could be based on the Monumental Sports app, right? So you can say, number one, these are not statistics that anybody can fact check, right? But mm-hmm. let's just say, okay, the percentages that they're given, year over year they increased by 70% or 37%. If it's the Monumental Sports app, then if you could have gone from 100 users to 200 users and say, oh, yeah, we increased 500% over the last year. Like, you can manipulate the stats and, like, to say, oh, these are the stats that you should be looking at, when they're not showing, oh, that we have this amount of reach. We're reaching this amount of people on a daily basis or a game-to-game basis. You know, this we're already dealing in territory of number manipulation.
Yeah, I mean, perfectly said. It's just like when I saw that, right? It's like, okay, your eyebrows raise, and you're like, what is the issue? Why, from the normal perspective, it's like, well, why does YouTube and Hulu not want to keep a channel that is year over year increasing their numbers by 40%+? And they mentioned, I think they outperform 70% of the region on regional channels or whatever on YouTube TV year over year. And it's all these, you know, flashy numbers. But then you just kind of sit back and you think, like, if their numbers were so great, then why does YouTube and Hulu want nothing to do with them? If they were performing so well, why do they not want to renegotiate? Why are they, like they said, not negotiating in good faith? Why are there no counteroffers? It's number one, because I would assume the numbers aren't as great as Monumental's blowing them up to be. But you mentioned this earlier, YouTube and Hulu are also going away from the approach of independent RSNs. That's the writing on the wall that you talked about earlier. And so you mentioned your idea, and you talked about it in your article about how the Wizards can actually move forward by taking this lesson in stride and moving forward kind of on their own. It's just, you know, I'll ask you this question. Like, if they do that, I would assume the price points are still going to be sort of an issue for a lot of fans. Like, do you think they would be able to charge less if they went the route that you're preaching?
Yeah, no, I think that they would be able to, but the real thing is that to be able to even make the commitment, like, it's a real tough decision if they've been, you know, spending thousands of dollars of man hours on thinking of this idea, thinking that it was going to go a certain way. It's kind of just tough for a business to be like, oh, we're just going to pivot to this completely different idea. But to me, I think that this, like, number one, like, one of the things that I've been really concerned about, or not concerned about, but I have questions about, is the fact that why did they wait until last Thursday for all of this to even, like, get to this situation, for it to get to this point? Like, to me, like, if this was something that was going on, if I were going to take the route of having this, you know, fake grassroots effort, mobilizing the troops with Keep Miami as well, I would have done this 2 months ago. You know, like, what? Like, why would you wait until the Friday before to be like, yo, save our channel? I don't understand what, like, from a business standpoint, like, what, why there wasn't a sense of urgency beforehand. And I think that just goes back to the element that we're both talking about, how out of touch with, like, number one, like, what the fans want, and number two, with the actual marketplace that you've invested these hundreds of millions of dollars in. Like when they bought Monumental Sports from NBC Sports Washington, like I said, like, that price was a lot, but you bought your independence, but a lot comes with that. And so at this point, you can't pay for your independence and then also put yourself in a position where you really are stuck with their backs against the wall right now. And to me, I think that I'm just kind of disappointed with how all of this has played out, mainly because it really shouldn't have gotten to this point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm sorry to cut you off, but, like, I'm also curious, like, how do I phrase this? Like, how much of the blame does Monumental deserve? Because I was also surprised, like, why are you waiting this long? It seems like maybe they wanted to minimize the kind of backlash that they maybe expected from fans that kind of saw through some of the stuff that they were trying to, you know, mask or put out there. So it's definitely, you know, that kind of raised my eyebrows when I saw, like, you guys got to go. Like, you have a week or so to get all of these people to change their minds. And I think YouTube and Hulu could have gotten a million different people, and they would have been like, we're not coming to the table, guys. Like, you can show up to the table. We're
yeah,
not going to be there.
Kai Cenat could have got on stream and shouted it out. They still wouldn't have changed their mind. Like,
yeah, so, like, my question is, like, how much of the blame does Monumental deserve versus, like, a YouTube or Hulu that are sort of just standing their ground here?
Okay, so, you know, so that's a loaded question in the sense of blame is an interesting thing. Blame goes around to everybody. It's a blame pie. Like, you do break it down in percentages. And, you know, blame is a strong word because maybe they don't have any blame because, like, this was something that was inevitable, that was going to happen. But there is blame in the sense of they didn't have to wait until the last minute, or they could have pivoted before this was going to happen. Like to me, I think it shows really a lack of preparation and a lack of foresight for, number one, the market, and number two, like, what the actual consumers want. Like, and to me, like, the biggest thing is why did we all just find out about this on Thursday? Like, it just really kind of blew my mind. at the fact that this deadline, September 30th, these contracts are written well in advance. Like, this probably they've known about this day for a long time. Like, this didn't sneak up on them.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly questionable to wait this long, and I again, like, it's kind of just so confusing to the point where I don't think they were actually confused. It seems like they sort of maybe knew, like you said, the writing on the wall, and this was probably what they had planned all along. Like, a week before, we'll roll something out, we'll try to make sure we generate a bunch of buzz that is, you know, for our sake. We're the little guy here, we're getting bullied by the big streaming companies, and sort of try to win the fans back like that. But also at that point, shift them over, like, hey guys, like, you kind of got hosed here, you can't watch if you have the streaming service, but look at the Monumental app. We're offering $20 off annually. Just pay us $180 instead of paying YouTube TV $82 a month. You don't want all those channels. You just want to watch the Wizards win 18 games this year. Like, it's, I don't think the people there are that, I don't want to say like dumb, because that's a crazy word, but like,
what you're talking right now is like the real third eye conspiracy theories that are actually floating around the internet, that this was all a part of the master plan to drive people to the Monumental app. Like, and that would be like some Scrooge McDuck. That's just diabolical if that were the case.
Like, again, like, I'm
gonna say that that's not what's going on, hopefully, because that, like, like I said, that would just be like diabolical. Like, it would be,
I'm not saying like that is per se what they're doing, but it seems like when you don't take money off the monthly cost and you're only taking it off the annual cost, it's like, well, if you're really trying to help the fans out, knock a couple bucks per month off of the monthly bill. Don't just say, hey, like, and then they doubled down when they said, well, you can save $56 by going the annual route. It's like, it seems like they are doing what they can to guide people that way. So again, I'm not accusing them of doing that, but the people that do think they might be doing that, and I'm trying my best to kind of dance around this year, you're not that crazy for thinking that.
No. I mean, like, these are all theories. Like, because you know what? But it's also very interesting about all of this is, like, we don't know what it is, because, like, we're getting the messaging that we're getting from Monumental Sports is very much state-run media. Like, there aren't other perspectives. There aren't other people who are asking, who even have the ability to ask these questions. Like, oh, what's going on? When did you know about this? Like, there is no type of transparency when it comes to this process and how we got here. And this is very, it's like, the ability of Wizards and Caps and Mystics fans not being able to watch their favorite teams for this year is very much a very important question for a constituent if you're running a service like Monumental Sports. Like I said, there's a responsibility that comes with your independence and wanting to be this major player in the DC sports game. If you really want to play Monopoly, then this comes with it.
Yeah, I mean, Wilson, you talked about the state-run media. We've had constant conversations about kind of how the team is covered and sort of why that is the case. I mean, you tweeted this out, and I guess it was a response to somebody today, and I saw it, and I was like, that is spot on. Because I had been thinking the whole week, like, why is this not a bigger story? Like, the fact that fans of these teams might not be able to start the season watching them, being able to watch them, without having to pay the absurd amounts that they would pay on the Monumental app, that's a pretty big deal. Like, Capitals fans, it's a week before the season, and if you have YouTube or Hulu, you can't watch your favorite team play like you used to. But
yeah, I haven't seen anything. Caps fans are actually way more upset about this than Wizards fans.
Yeah, right. they actually have a good team. They have a reason to be upset. But, like, I guess my question is, like, why is this not a bigger story? I mean, I'm sure, like, I know you know the answer to this question, but
I'm going to tell you right now, Greg, and this is for the people who are listening. This is the inside baseball aspect of it. It's because, like, the Washington Wizards, the 30 NBA teams, and each NBA team has a beat. You have a beat of people who cover this NBA team. And so what the Washington Wizards has done, and this has worked because that Michael Winger is the president of basketball operations and Will Dawkins is the general manager, and they both come from the Oklahoma City model. And a part of that model was controlling the narrative in these places. And so when you establish okay, we're going to control the narrative. We're going to control, you know, who's able to get credential access to media games. We're going to control, you know, who's coming in, who's asking questions. When you have media day and 80% of the people who are there asking questions work for Monumental Sports, then you have to kind of ask yourself, is this team being covered like the other 30 NBA teams when it comes to just the amount of coverage and access of people who are there to be able to talk to the coaches and ask questions about the practices and and be a part of the game experience and like actual do grassroots reporting on the game level to say, this is what's going on in the arena. This is how the crowd's reacting. This is how, like, there is a journalism aspect that goes into having outside voices. And, you know, shout out to the Washington Post has a person there. The Athletic has people there. You know, and that's pretty much, and then Monumental Sports, like, and that's the coverage of the Wizards.
It's well said. I mean, you talked about the credential thing, obviously, like, you know, I have experience dealing with something like that. But you also talked about Monumental as questions. I did an independent study. I did a whole story about it for Penn State last year. And I went to Brian Key's introductory press conference. It was on June 5th, 2024, I guess.
We were there together.
Chris Miller obviously started it off and he gave them a couple of questions or gave Keith and Dawkins some questions. And then they only allowed 7 questions to be asked. And 5 of those 7 were from Monumental Sports reporters. So it's kind of like they're asking their technically coworker, right? They're all under the same umbrella questions. And so when you don't have those outside voices that are actually hammering home what the fans want to know and not just throwing softballs. And again, no disrespect to those people. They're all nice people. I want to make that known. But it's the intrinsic like model here where you can't really expect stories like this to be big when, like you said, Troy, most of the people that are asking questions or that are getting this access are working for the owner of the exact team they're supposed to cover. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. And this is, like I said, like this is a part of journalism. This is like the state of journalism. So this isn't just, you know, like specific to what's going on with the Wizards. This is like microcosm of just journalism and overall, like just across every platform. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like people want to limit access, like, because you want to control the narrative. You don't want people coming in asking, you know, different questions. And they, like, or I mean, you don't even know what they're going to ask. You just want to be able to, like, we just want to control. We just want to ask this. We're trying to push this narrative. So it, sometimes it's not even about allowing other people to come in. But like I said, I do think that the approach that they have, like, and that was just an observation that I had at Wizards Media Day. I was there on Monday. And it was just kind of not that it was overrun by Monumental Sports, because like I understand, you know, they like it's an actual production and they are putting this on, but it's also like just looking around, just the pure numbers of it is a thing that like you have to question, like, okay, why aren't there being other opinions or other perspectives on this team that we cover? And like I said, this goes back to the disconnect that we're talking about with the understanding of Monumental and how they view the fan and the fan's role in their own view and experience.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I might get myself in trouble if we keep talking about this.
Look, let's dive into some basketball, Greg. I feel like we've given the people a solid half hour of very much like a breath of fresh air of understanding of a very, you know, inside baseball aspect of what's going on with the team. And, you know, and these are the real questions that, you know, that people want to know. So,
yeah, I mean, certainly we can, I'm always down to talk about the team because I won't get myself in trouble, but I mean, you obviously went to media day and I feel like a lot of the main buzz questions I saw were about Trey Johnson. You tweeted out, you tweeted out a picture of him from media day. Kind of what do you expect from, obviously some people don't know if he's going to start or if he's going to come off the bench, but what are you kind of looking forward to from Trey?
Man, I think that Trey, number one, like we're talking about basketball, so we got to get to the hoops aspect of it. And the thing that the theme across all of the players when they were asked about Trey is the fact that, yo, this guy can play, this guy can shoot, like this guy, like that's a, and that number one is like a very positive indication, like that the players are already respecting his hoop game. And so, you know, all the other aspects, it's like, yo, he's like a kid on the team and he got like, you know, 6 or 7 big uncles now, like, you know what I'm saying, who's going to, you know, try to help him and mold him with all his off the court stuff. But, you know, I'm concerned about what, like, you know, he's going to look like on a basketball court. And like I said, like the common thing that I've like listened to for all the players, when they were asked about, oh, what did you learn from playing with him in the hoop? They were like, yo, he could shoot the leather off the ball. He could do that. He could do like that. That's the takeaway from, you know, what people mm-hmm. thinking about him before the season starts.
Yeah, I mean, Keyshawn was just basically raving about the work ethic that he has and just how like every rep is game like, every rep is to the max. Which we, like, I talked to a guy who covered him at Texas, Eric Henry, and he was just basically like, they had to get him out of the gym. Like, he was just there too much. I mean, CJ even said it. CJ was like, he needs hobbies. Like, he needs to find some other fun stuff outside basketball. What do you think about the starting lineup, you know, kind of CJ versus Trey, and then you go Keyshawn and Bilal, the younger guys, and you also have Middleton as an older guy. Whitmore is in there as well. You know, how do you kind of see that playing out, where maybe the Wizards will start some of their veterans early on to the, you know, much to the fans' dismay, I guess?
Well, so, like, I'm going to say this. Another quote that stood out to me over the last week was at Will Dawkins' press conference. He said last year that, you know, there were opportunities that were given away, and this year that it would have to be earned. And so, you know, I'm just going to take that as face value and say that, okay, that there is going to be a sense of competition throughout training camp, and that starting spots won't just be, you know, handed out. And so, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing the dynamic that happens between, you know, the mix of, you know, our young players. Like, we have a very unique situation where we have 10 former first round draft picks who are all under their rookie deals. And so really, when you look at it, there, that's just a big lot to evaluate. And the gamble is that at least two of them is going to be coming out there and be players. And if you get three, then you really batting a good average, right? But if they can get two players that come out of that and be like, yo, these are, you know, foundational pieces, cornerstones of what we're trying to build going forward, then, you know, from an organizational standpoint, they're kind of like, you know, doing their job with their, you know, risk-reward evaluation.
I mean, you mentioned there's so many young players. There's so many rookies on this team. There's so many people that are like 21 and under. And obviously, like Dawkins said, they're still in phase one. They're still playing. I mean, Keith mentioned a lot about defense. The team's ranked 29th the last 2 years in defense. Like, again, it's not Keith's fault. The personnel has not been great. It's not like this year the personnel is that much better defensively. So it seems like they clearly want to get better on the defensive side of the ball. That seems to be an issue. Obviously, they want to run as well. They want to get out and run. They have a young, fast team that wants to play, you know, on the break as much as possible. What I'm really looking at is Cam Whitmore is kind of a guy that I feel like not many people are talking about, just because the Wizards, it wasn't a big trade. They got him for so little. And I believe, I don't know who said it, but someone was basically like, when Cam's running at us full speed in transition, we just run away. Like, we get out of the way. He's 6'7", 235. That's what he's listed at. To be able to move at that speed, at that height, and that size, I really think that he could carve out a role. So from everyone talking, he said he had a chip on his shoulder at media day. So that's kind of a guy that I've circled as, you know, maybe a dark horse candidate to start. And if not, it'll certainly be a part of a rotation in Washington, where last year he didn't play really at all on a really good Houston team. So that's someone I've kind of circled. I also, before I let you go, want to get your thoughts on sort of the outlook of this year. I mean, Will Dawkins mentioned they're still in phase one, which if the last 2 years were any indication of phase one, there's going to be a lot of losing, but also a lot of development, a lot of minutes for the younger players, because the Wizards do like playing their young guys. Kind of what do you see from an approach standpoint? What should Wizards expect to kind of watch this year?
Okay, well, when you're talking about goals and you know, what the Wizards expect out of this season. Well, from an organizational standpoint, internally, the number one goal for the Wizards for this season is to keep their draft pick. Okay, so then now you have to evaluate everything that happens throughout happens across the season with keeping that number one thing in mind. And so there's going to be a lot of losing, but like you said, there's going to be a lot of development. That would be the number two goal, like to make sure that their young players actually develop. Actually, that might be the first goal, because, you know, if for some miracle, you know, Bilal Coulibaly, you know, ends up, you know, turning into Kawhi Leonard, they would much rather give up that draft pick. Like, you know, so that's one aspect of it. But they want to keep the pick. They want to develop the young players. And then they probably want to turn some of those veteran expiring contracts, the Chris Middleton, the CJ McCollum, they probably want to turn those into something. And, you know, if you could do those three things, you probably had a successful year for the Wizards.
Final thing, you have any wins prediction? I will say before that, I did correctly predict 18 wins last year. So shout out to myself. But do you have any win predictions for the season?
Let's go with a sense of improvement. Let's go with 20 wins.
20 wins. I think I'm around there. I'm at like 21 right now. I'll have a full like prediction by the closer start to the season.
Yeah. So look, also, yeah, if you're Miami Middle Sports, you say we're from 18 to 20. You have like you have what 36% on the year, man. Yeah.
All right, and we'll wrap it up. We'll wrap it up on that, Troy. Again, thank you so much, Troy, for joining me. This is a really cool conversation. I think a conversation that probably needed to take place. I don't know where else it would have taken place. So I'm glad you're able to come on here and kind of share your wisdom and kind of perspective on it. For people watching, where can they find your stuff and also find your article? Because that also gave a really good in-depth insight into this whole thing.
Okay, yeah, yeah. First, you can find me on Twitter always, or you know what I'm saying, at Troy Halliber is my handle on Twitter. And my Substack is called Ideal Taste DC. That's where I do a lot of my writings and musings and blogging. And you can also, but please, like, listen to the Capitol Hoop Caucus on ESPN 630. Like, when we talk about alternative media to what's going on with just monumental sports, ESPN 630 has a radio station. They have a show dedicated to just basketball that I myself and Wardell McCabe and my guy, Isaac Ogicum Harris, we started over there. So we're on actual terrestrial radio, so it's not just a podcast. You can find us everywhere, but we're actually on the radio AM 6:30 on your dial on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. And yeah, people can just go out there and support that. And you know, I love just talking about Wizards on Twitter, but please, like, yeah, just come talk respectfully. We can engage all day.
I couldn't recommend the Capitol Hoops caucus more. I've been on. It's fun. Those guys have a really fun time. They don't just talk about the Wizards. Like, they talk about just basketball in general. They talk about the Mystics a lot. So definitely be sure to check them out. But again, thank you so much, Troy, for joining me. And thanks to everyone for listening. That's going to wrap it up for this episode. I'll be back probably around a week or so to kind of give a Wizards preview. But again, that's going to do it. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks for having me, my brother Greg.